Welcome back to Entertainment Banter. My name is Joel.
And I am Matt.
And I hope you can recognize the little BMG.
Yeah.
We're going to do some Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
Welcome to Entertainment Banter.
Now we're opening big gates, in case you guys know.
It's a good soundtrack, isn't it? John Williams.
John Williams, man, he really made it.
He made it. Very recognizable. Everyone knows Jurassic Park.
Yeah, very much so.
Very much so.
Alright. We gonna kill it?
No. You gotta wait for this moment.
You want that big crescendo?
You just want it.
What if I stopped it right before that?
I think you'd upset a lot of people, including myself.
You ready? Here we go.
Oh, I just got chills. You gotta fade it out. You fade it out.
There we go.
Fade it out. All right, so Jurassic Park.
It came out when I was in
1994?
High school. Yeah, I was in high school. That's how old I am, folks.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I remember, it's funny how, like, I don't know about you, but there's not a lot of movies I look forward to today that are outside of the box. I mean, obviously, we talk about it so damn much, but Marvel, Star Wars, you know, like these are the
Disney
movies. Yeah, anything superhero related. It's like, that's what people are looking forward to these days.
Not dinosaur movies.
Yeah, it was so original.
When Jurassic Park came out, I remember waiting in line with my father. You had to wait in line back in the day. No reserve seating. We got tickets to see an 8 p.m. showing. We were at the theater at 3 p.m. We waited in line.
Wow.
5 hours.
Yep.
In line to see this movie. And I stayed up all night with nightmares from it.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I did.
It didn't disappoint.
It didn't. It was different.
Yeah.
I mean, I was only 9 years old when it came out, but it was different.
Wow.
9 years old.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it was a perfect marriage of everything I love. I mean, it had Steven Spielberg directing, Sam Neill's one of the lead actors. You have, you know, John Williams' score once again. The master of great storytelling through music.
And did John Williams do Star Wars?
Yeah.
I hate you.
And Indiana Jones.
Crap.
He did everything.
Podcast over.
He did Jaws, obviously did Jurassic Park.
Right, right. He's probably a good friend of Spielberg, it's obvious.
Oh, yeah, no. Exactly. It was a dynamic team for sure. But it was so Michael
different.
Crichton.
It definitely changed how we watch movies, that movie came when how it came out.
Yeah.
Because even with now you watch Jurassic World, since they are kind of rebooting it, but in the same time world,
right.
I guess. It's almost like they're trying to recreate that magic, but now they're just like creature features.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see this new one, but the trailer suggests that there's some genetic tinkering going on beyond the normal genetic
tinkering. They brought
tinkering.
Back some more characters from the original Jurassic Park, actually.
Really?
Yes, they did.
I know Dr. Wu, what is his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are touching back on relationships that John Hammond had. So, like, they are bringing more storyline to life, and it was very interesting.
Did you read the books by any chance? Michael Crichton's stories of Jurassic Park?
I think I read Lost World.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed it. I mean, because when you watch Jurassic Park 3, the movie,
yeah.
You know, like, the whole birdcage scene. It was in the first Jurassic Park book. That was a part of it. Like,
yes,
you know?
That's right. It was.
And so that whole scene, and part of it, that also laid into Lost World. So, like, Jurassic Park 3 was not... It was a lot of leftovers from the other
exactly.
From the books.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's what that was.
Well, I...
Awful movie.
It's been a long time since I've read the book, but I thought Dr. Wu was I wouldn't say he was a villain in the book, but he wasn't very helpful. And there was also a veterinarian who had a big role in the book as well. And,
really?
Yes.
Which book?
The first one.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. But it's interesting. Jurassic Park, man, that movie. You hear the T-Rex roar.
So many cinematic moments like
Steven Spielberg, man. Like,
well, it was all like real. There's not much CGI in it. It was a lot of real.
But I mean, everybody knows the ripple in the water in the cup.
Everyone knows.
You know what
that
I mean?
One.
Or
everyone.
The ripples in the water in the footprint.
Or the T-Rex standing over the car and biting that tire, you know.
Oh yeah.
That scene.
Yeah.
Or the T-Rex at the end screaming, you know. They all know these scenes.
Yes. It's just it's classic. And for that, do you remember what the rating is for that
PG-13.
Movie? PG-13. It is PG-13. Mm-hmm. So there's a little gore and violence in it.
Well, it's suggested violence.
Right, right.
It's a lot of suggested.
But for the most part,
so you don't see blood really. You see a lot of
it's the, still tastefully done.
Because Dennis dies in the car from the spitter.
Right.
And the lawyer dies for the T-Rex, and you see him get.
We do see body parts. Like we have Samuel Jackson's arm
gets shown. Right. Hold on to your butt.
Yeah.
And you see the lawyer, and I watched it recently, and I didn't notice this before, but I'm sure a lot of people have noticed it before me, but when they find Malcolm.
Yes. Leg splint and all that?
When they find him, you know, in the pot.
The pile of the building.
Yeah, and they go, is that the lawyer? What's left of him?
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, I never caught that before.
Yeah, yeah, well, they also say, I think this is Gennaro. And then she's on the other side, and she's like, or I think this is too.
His name, yeah. Because
he got ripped apart.
I didn't know his name.
Yeah.
So, because he's like a character you don't really care about. So when you hear his name, you don't think, oh. You're like, what did he say? Oh, forget it. We're moving on with our story.
Well, that's Spielberg again. Like, the idea in storytelling as a whole, good writing. I mean, like, you know, that we didn't see it, but
knew.
But it automatically gives you this sense of foreboding. Like, oh my God, this guy got shredded. Mm-hmm. Like, it lets your imagination run wild.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Jurassic Park, man. Like, the idea of it, it was one. I mean, granted, CGI had been used in movies for quite a while at this point in time, but I feel
started
like
started to. It's still. I it feel still like fresh.
It was still fresh, but they definitely had used it in movies.
Animatronics was so much better.
But they, this was one of the first movies that they really applied it to
tastefully, or
well, back then I would say absolutely. You watch it now, you can kind of go, but when it first came out. I was like, wow, looks really good.
It's all our fancy TVs now that are so high def. Like,
that's you can the problem.
Catch things like that easier, of course. Even the newer stuff that's coming out, your high def TV is so good, you're like,
Right.
I'm catching things now.
They still used an element of practical effects and some CGI effects. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, overall, it just to me that it still looked really awesome. I loved the design of the world that they created, the Jeeps. For the parks and the park itself, how it looked, had a very miniature King Kong feel, the design for it, Zoo/King Kong, you know what I mean? It was really cool.
That logo is, like, known throughout the world now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is a namesake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Park.
Yeah, it's, and what a clever logo, too, just to have the fossilized T-Rex in a logo, you know, implying that it's dead. But obviously we know better.
Obviously we know better.
You know, like, I mean, think about that. It's really clever because if this world truly existed, you would think they would put a real dinosaur on the logo, right?
Right. And as a child, though, would you have wanted to see a place like Jurassic Park?
I think every kid would.
I think almost every person would want to see something like
that. Well, even the lawyer says in the script, he says, you know, and we can charge ridiculous amounts of money, you know, because people will pay. People will pay to come see these things.
Live dinosaurs.
We'll have a coupon day. Yeah.
You just watched this movie.
No. It's just certain lines stand out to me.
Interesting.
You know how I am with the whole big corporations and the greed within, you know how I feel about that.
And of course, Jurassic Park would be no different.
Oh, yeah, no different.
It would definitely be in the corporate greed and all that.
Well, in the book, Hammond...
Yes, talk about the book.
Hammond, he actually... it was more corporate greed for him. The reason why he invites his grandchildren to the park is because he wants to prove to all of these scientists, top advisors, his investors... that if he feels comfortable bringing his grandchildren to the park, then it must be a safe place to sign off on. So in a way, he was using his grandchildren as guinea pigs to say, hey, look, support this financially because I'm willing to bring them. It must be safe. It must be good.
And yet, what did we find out?
Yes. But in the movie, he doesn't come across that way. He comes across as this naive... genuine grandpa that...
Well, because he didn't want to charge all that money. He's just like, we want to open for all the people.
It
was, that's why he goes to the line with the coupon day.
That's right. It was written in that way.
They try to make him like the good guy.
Yeah.
I think in the book, I remember he was not the greatest guy.
Yeah, he wasn't.
So what did you think of the sequel, Lost World, when they made that? And they brought back, you know.
Well, Lost World to me,
and Malcolm, and
I always appreciate when they bring back lead characters. I always have enjoyed that. The correct me if I'm wrong, Lost World, weren't they going to like the island that they created the dinosaurs?
Yes.
And then
they didn't really create them on the island where the dinosaurs were. Right. Even though they implied that during the first
movie. It was like the place where they quote unquote build them, and then they shipped them to the island where they were in Jurassic Park. Yes. Yeah. So they're on that island. They're trying to rescue them. But I forget, the island's not in danger in this one. It's just, they're just trying to rescue them from poachers? Like,
the company was in danger of losing?
I don't remember.
I don't remember exactly, but the way
Hammond got bought out or something?
Yeah, Ian Malcolm got...
Suckered in
because his girlfriend was on the island because she's taking photography, and he hired a bunch of photographers to go there and document
the cruelty that was going on.
They wanted the documentation of all the animals that are alive.
Okay.
And they also wanted to get the DNA back. You know what Dennis took? They had the DNA as well on the island, and they wanted to get that back. But poachers got involved, and they wanted to capture and recreate another Jurassic Park in a sense.
Right. That's right. Well, because I thought Engine was getting bought out. I thought Hammond was done financially.
I think so. I think this was like the last,
because it looked like another corporation was bringing it to the mainland, bringing it to California.
Well, here's the thing, though. It was funny too, because Lost World happened, right?
Yeah.
And it opens with this like family, you know, this rich family stops on the shore, and like a little girl gets eaten by Cumbies.
Yeah. Or she was attacked.
Whatever. I figured
that. Which died. In the first Jurassic Park book that. Also happened. Yeah, it's a baby, I think.
Of course, and that way everyone wants to stay away from the island. It's a bad island. It's death. Blah, blah, blah. So, in the movie end of Jurassic Park, what do you remember seeing at the end of Jurassic Park?
The classic moment where the T-Rex is, like, roaring?
No, right at the end before the credits.
Of course, the pterodons are flying away.
Exactly. Yeah, How can we never see anything beyond that? So, and then in Lost World, we end up bringing the dinosaurs to the mainland.
Yes.
To San Diego, right?
Yes, yes.
And they wreak havoc, and they eventually get them all back on the ship, and they send them back, right?
Right.
Instead of killing them, which is weird. Like, would you want to keep these animals alive?
Well, what's interesting...
I don't know, those are probably animals activists. But we never get to see, like, those pterodons. They make it all the way, or those pterodactyls, whatever they are. They fly out that way.
Well, I believe we talked about this in our last podcast, whether or not movies should have sequels. I think when Jurassic Park was made, it was made originally to be just
a standalone
amazing movie, and that suggestion was the theme of the whole movie, which is life will find a way.
Life always finds a way.
So, to backpedal a little bit, in the book, you know Dennis Nedry, the guy that steals the embryos is trying to get to the boat that is leaving. Well, in the book, it's creepy awesome. But, like,
raptors are on it.
Basically, yeah, everyone on that boat didn't make it because the dinosaurs ate them all. But the boat
made it to the mainland.
Had already set sail at that
Correct.
Point.
And that's where they did it from on the Lost World. That's where that scene came from.
Twist, yeah. They kind of tied that in a little bit in Lost World.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they blame it on the little T-Rex or whatever got out
of
that.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're trying to humanize it. I thought the second one, story-wise, was a little weak.
It was weak, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't until the third one where they brought back Grant, I know that actor, and the girl, I think, because she was on the phone with them.
They
never married.
Ellie.
Ellie. Yeah.
Yes, and Ellie, yeah.
They went to the island, and it was just, like, this bullshit story, and, like, all of a sudden, one of the guys wanted the raptor eggs, and it was... Yeah. They gave the raptors a real... This is the movie where they gave the raptors a real personality.
Yes.
And it was a fun movie, but it was so much CGI, and it was lacking in its story.
What was interesting about that movie was, you said it earlier in this podcast already, which is anything that was really cool in the first book that wasn't addressed, like the pterodon cage and all the river scene was actually in the first book.
Right.
So all that cool stuff, the waterfall scene where the T-Rex is trying to eat them within the waterfall.
Yes.
All of that was in the first book, and there were great. I mean, Michael Crichton wrote an awesome book.
He did, definitely.
And
absolutely.
And so I think that movie was just the boy finding the boy and bringing those parents together, whatever. That was just an excuse
to get him back
to get us to see those cool moments.
Just to get him back on that.
Yeah, which. I mean, I appreciated seeing those moments because I remember reading the
you
book.
You read about them and you're like, oh, I kind of want to see that.
This is awesome.
But yeah. I remember vividly one of the scenes when they walk into a giant birdcage. They didn't know they were in this birdcage.
Right.
And the little kid, Timmy, he all of a sudden he tells Dr. Grant, I feel something touching my head. And he realizes blood dripping down his head. And
yes.
And Paradox was pecking at his head.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and it was very vivid. And they realized we're in a giant birdcage.
Right.
They didn't say it like that, but I mean.
Right, right.
And then chaos ensued.
Yeah. Craziness, yeah. Man. That book was so well written.
Well, I
might have to read it after this again.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
So we make it through these three movies, and then we go, 10 years before they think about, like, essentially rebooting Jurassic Park, but in the same universe. So when this Jurassic World was trailer released, everyone thought, oh, they're rebooting it, blah, blah, blah. But as you watch Jurassic World, they make nods to Jurassic Park.
Oh, 100%.
The original park failed,
yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. All this stuff.
Yeah, but it's like, what was it, like Aliens? That's the thing. I mean,
I appreciated those nods back.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking about this. This generation of filmmaking is all about taking historical movies that have been cult classics now or just loved by all.
Waiting for Jaws.
And just basically redoing them with the same story, with new twists, but overall,
keeping the same.
The recipe is the same. They are different movies, and I think that's why people still like them and still go to see them.
But
because
trying to
they have enough of a twist, but I think what it is like subliminal messaging and familiarity between the movies, you know what I mean?
I mean, you saw Jurassic World, and you're going to see Jurassic World 2.
Yeah, I'm a little behind right now, but yes, I'm going to definitely see the second one of the newer ones.
So Jurassic World, the park opens.
Yeah.
So they actually have the park open this time.
Well, that's what's going to be, it's Aliens.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So in Alien, Ripley fights the alien creature and and escapes. When she's lost in space for years, she comes back and they say, hey, no, people, that planet you're talking about that's dangerous, people have been living there for years. They're fine. Or the colony's been there for a while. And she's like, oh, crap. And of course, when they get there, it's not okay.
It's annihilated, yeah.
Yeah. And so with this movie, it's the same thing. Oh, no. The park's been up and running for a long time
now.
Well,
that's the thing. You've seen the movie.
The first one, the new ones, yes.
Yeah. Chris Pratt, love him.
Yeah,
he looks better in this movie than he does in Guardians, actually. He looks more fit and more handsome.
Yeah.
And then you see this lady running around the whole park in high heels. Questionable.
Yes.
So.
Hollywood magic.
The park's open. It's been open for a while. They play it off, and now they're playing with this new dinosaur. Some of these weird security protocols they have in place for this dinosaur, you would have had different protocols.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like they were scratching to get this to work in a way that this would be... And it turned into a creature feature with this thing that would camouflage and do all that.
Yeah, it was
like
a little much.
Like, they made cuttlefish, and they try to do all these things to this dinosaur. Like, why would you do that? Like, you play God. I guess the whole premise is that you're playing a God bringing back these dinosaurs. You can play God doing other things, I guess, I suppose.
Are you suggesting... Is your comment and or complaint within the movie itself, or are you saying as an actual screenwriter, why would you go this route?
As a movie in itself, like the people in that universe.
Okay,
like,
the people in the universe.
The only thing I can think of in that universe, they're thinking that you can't play God with the animals that already are alive, but since we created these and these dinosaurs are copyrighted now, in theory, in our world, it would be.
Yeah.
If you brought back a dinosaur,
big time.
That would be a copyright stamp. We made this T-Rex.
Yeah.
This is ours.
It would be ridiculous.
So now you can do whatever you want with your property. There would be a lot of animal rights movement, but it would take a long time before animal rights could actually affect this.
Right.
So they're going to do what they can while they have this ability.
Yes.
Until they can't manipulate DNA.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure
it would
bring up a massive amount of things.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, I'm sure DNA wouldn't just be about dinosaurs. It would be like a broader subject for all. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We're doing it now with dogs. You know, people are like genetically altering dogs so they stay certain sizes and stuff. You know, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
For little pet purposes and whatnot.
It's only long before we have genetic alterations for humans.
Well, you know what? Like, was it Batman Beyond? Instead of tattoos, they genetically alter their appearance to be look more like cats and stuff.
Or hyenas,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jurassic Park, The Lost World particularly, I like
back to that movie.
Well, you were talking about it, so I was thinking about the interactions with, like you said, the old and new, some of the characters representing literally with old Jurassic Park shirts and stuff.
And Jurassic World.
Yeah, franchises within franchises.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
It's so cool to see
that. We accept it as audience members, because we're like, oh yeah, Jurassic Park really did exist.
Yeah.
Because everybody went to Walmart and bought Jurassic Park shirts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like that is kind of a little bit weird, just because If the park failed, why would there be merchandise? Right?
Yeah. Well, it'd be, I'm sure.
Or did they, like, Jurassic World was created, right?
It'd be all collectible.
And they made it, right? And then they all of a sudden, just like how Disneyland was made, right?
Yeah.
And now, like, Pat Oswalt, that's a comedian.
Oswalt, the rabbit.
The rabbit. All of a sudden, like, he was a failure. But now he's in DCA, right. Disney California Adventure for you non-acronym right. people.
Well, it's all about history. And now his
product's there, right? So yeah. You think Jurassic World would do the same thing, like, oh, this park was going to open, so we're going to make this merchandise as nostalgia, like this park. People died then, so it's
That's, you know what, that's a great point, because if this world truly existed, right?
Right.
There's two things. Let's say it's before World is created, right? The park mm-hmm. of World is created. Would you say, like, okay, we know that Jurassic Park existed, people died, but there was t-shirts and stuff, and it was never really open to the public, based on the first movie. So would all that merch from that...
Oh, God.
It'd be, like, worth millions, right? It would be, like, maybe. Collectible items,
you
right?
Think so?
At that point? Oh, God, yes. Absolutely.
For a field company?
Like, John Lennon's t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, people would go crazy for
maybe.
That stuff. So, my question to you is, you know, when they're wearing that in the world, is it like an Oswalt thing, Oswalt the Rabbit, where
yes.
the company decided, hey, let's bring back the retro logo.
Yes.
Even though people died.
I think it is.
Is it distasteful? Or they're like, no, we're going to remember the history.
And someone's going to say, like, why you
wear the sacrifices that were made.
Why you wear a 9/11 t-shirt, you know?
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, it's kind of like one of those things where, that's interesting.
It's fascinating, right? And then, so we go into the second movie, Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, right.
I'm not going to talk much on it, but... They're using the same chemistry
yeah.
that the Lost World used. So the Lost World, they get
again,
to
that
island
reboot, yeah.
to get back in there, right? So Lost World is about one of the main scientists trying to get back to the island to save some of the creatures,
right?
Some of the animals, the dinosaurs. And they enlist Chris Pratt to go back out there. You got to find Blue, the raptor. That's why Blue is a big thing. But they're trying a whole other thing, like, you know, get someone to the island, create this to save people. And of course, and then in this movie, they end up in... our world again.
Right.
Just like Lost World. So you almost see major similarities in this movie.
But the big twist is we never had...
They genetically
altered. We never had... Well, a couple things. Yeah, that's one for sure. But we also never had dinosaur buddies.
Right.
You know
what I mean? It was really neat to see that, because I think if raptors were where they were, how they say they are
yeah.
in this movie, it would be almost like that. He trained them. Like, it's really cool how they did it. Like, the movie was really good in a sense, but you can see similarities how they progressed the storyline
right.
from Lost World.
Sure,
it really
absolutely.
It was really interesting. I don't want to ruin the movie.
No, that's okay. I will see it eventually, but it's interesting that... But
And Ian Malcolm's back in it. I like bringing Jeff Goldblum.
Oh,
he was,
that's
he's,
awesome.
He's in it. Well, he's in the
briefly.
Trailer.
Yeah, he is
very
in the trailer.
Briefly. And it's
but
like
I just thought
he,
that was a tease.
And he always said, well, he's only in that part. And
oh,
it's
okay.
really great when he goes, like, life finds a way.
Yeah.
And he still says that. And he's still, like, he remembers everything. You know,
oh,
he was from
course.
The original part.
Yeah, of
so
course.
It's so great
And he
to
was
see
there
that.
Twice now.
Yeah.
He had to deal with it twice.
Yep.
Well, and the cool thing about the books was he focused a lot on the chaos theory.
It's a true theory.
You know, and so, like...
If you don't believe in chaos theory, I don't know what you should believe in.
There's actually a diagram in the book, if you read it. Like, it keeps changing and growing. And what's cool about it is it starts off with a little swivel picture, and then it gets bigger, and it looks a little different. But then, as it gets bigger, the bigger picture looks like the first original squiggle picture. It's really interesting to see
interesting.
It. Yeah, it's really cool.
Chaos theory is a very interesting theory, and it's actually a theory that I personally believe in myself, chaos
mm-hmm.
theory.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, like, philosophy, too. Like,
it's a huge philosophy.
Everything's
thing.
Always moving, beginning,
everything.
Middle, and ends. Like, there's always, everything's always in motion.
The whole basic concept of it is that fact that there's a blacksmith that makes a nail. The nail gets given to the leather... builder, he makes boots with it and uses the nail to make the soles on the boot, and he sells the boot to the soldier, the military, and the military uses it to the soldiers. Soldiers use it to
right.
go fight wars. If that blacksmith doesn't make the nails, do we have wars?
Right.
Chaos theory, that it spreads out further and further out, like, you don't know. That's the basic, I mean, it's not.
Right. Right.
So it's interesting.
Well, it's like the water on the palm thing that Malcolm does in the
exactly.
car. Like,
you
assume it would go the same way,
no.
but it's not
Never
necessarily
does.
The same.
But that's insanity as well. Do you expect the same result to
yeah,
the same
yeah.
thing over and over again?
Right.
Or a different result?
Yeah. It's really great.
So.
We're running short on time, but we originally started with Jurassic Park, the first one. Do you have anything you want to say about that movie in particular? Feelings or
it's
memories?
It's a classic. It's a great, like, it. I have such great memories with it. It's even great. Boot. I keep saying
That's okay.
I just did four times in a row. Why would you do that? Jurassic Park has so many great memories. Even when it got released onto DVD, VHS. Yeah. Almost DVD. No, it was VHS.
It was both, actually.
Was it really? Both. DVD? Yeah. At that time as well?
VHS and
DVD. It started to, probably, huh?
DVDs came out shortly after. It was VHS first.
My dad had a way to get bootlegs back then. This is before BitTorrents and all that. And yeah. I remember him getting it. Jurassic Park came, you know, it used to take about, what, 4 or 5 months before
it would be a while. It took a long time. Yes, they would drag that stuff out, sometimes a year.
My dad got
it was awful.
Chinese bootleg of it.
Yeah.
And I remember on my brother's birthday, my dad brought it in. Like, we all sat in my mom's room, her 27-inch coaxial TV.
Which was big back then.
CRTV.
Yep.
And we threw the VHS and had Chinese subtitles on it, but it was the full movie. And we watched it again, and it was just great memories. And just recently, we watched it in our theater at the show where we worked.
That's right.
It's just like one of those movies everyone thinks, like, you don't always talk about it, but when someone brings up, like, hey, it's a great movie, let's watch it, you don't really hear ill feelings about it. And yeah. It has such great memories. I think it's a childhood thing.
I don't know who the Foley guy was, too, but you got to give them credit for the sound effects and the mixing of those sound effects. I mean, it's the first time when you hear that boom, like, that was chorus, but the initial boom.
But when he stepped in the ground,
it's just like, yeah.
And or then, the roaring and all
it's
that.
Right at the beginning of the movie, right at the credits roll, you know, like, there's just so many great moments of sound in that movie. The obviously the dinosaurs themselves, the electric fence, I mean, like, you name it, it's just so many great things.
It was a great
about
movie
it. yeah
it was not up for an Academy Award, was it?
I don't,
maybe the music was, no. But not, maybe the effects were, but the movie itself never did.
Yeah, it was.
There were some cheesy acting lines in it, of course.
I liked the trailer. Girl. If you watch the trailer, there's scenes in the trailer that were taken out of the movie.
I never saw the trailer. I don't think.
Ellie, I was old enough to watch other movies in the theater at the time, but when the trailer was playing, and Ellie grabs when they're, you know, they're in the jeeps and they're driving to the park for the first time. She grabs, as they're passing plants, she grabs a leaf off.
Is that how she has the plant in her hand?
And that's why she's like, Alan, take a look at this plant. It's from...
I didn't know that.
Well, it was cut, but it was in the trailer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I remember from the movie now, there was a part where Muldoon, the hunter, he talks about how the female raptor hunts.
Yes.
He explains it all when they're feeding raptors, right?
Right.
So then when they go out to turn the power back on, he sees her in the distance, right? And he told everyone how she hunts, and she sees him in the distance.
Right.
Did the exact same thing he explained earlier. Like, are you that dumb?
Yeah.
Like, he pretty much foreshadowed how he was going to die when he said
that's
that.
That's a great point. Yeah.
But it was just like, you're supposed to be this hunter, this excellent, you know, tracker, and this is what happens to you.
Yeah.
Clever girl.
Yeah. Well, what a good line, too, to go out on. You know?
Right.
He didn't go, oh, shit, or, you know, like,
he was a good
mama.
With those small shorts he was wearing.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson's character was great, you know.
Yes. They
as
all
always.
Great. Everything was
great.
Jeff Goldblum's character.
Every time I do something reckless driving, I'll say, hold on to your butts.
Yeah. Everyone does. I think everyone says shit like that now. Or,
And you know what, too, is, I don't know, again, we're running short on time. I just love little moments of the character development. Something as simple as Hammond and Nedry arguing over financial squabbling. It's a small moment while they're talking about the system and its needs updates and all this crap. He's like, I'm sorry about your financial woes, but they really are your problems. Like, it's huge because he says it while they're trying to debug the systems and stuff. And what's cool about it is it's such a small line, but it shows why Nedry is doing what he's doing. Like, he's desperate and hurting for money,
right.
And that's why he's stealing these things and acting weird. And he has no remorse. You know, he knows he's going to rob this guy blind before he even opens his park.
But the thing is, if John Hammond just paid him a little more, it comes down to finances. If you work for a company, your little guy could screw you.
I'm trying not to get too political, but it's like the same thing with the government, though. You know, we've got cyber attacks all the time, but the problem is, if our own government doesn't pay more than other companies like Google or anything else, obviously you're not going to get the best people to protect your country.
No, you're not.
You know what I mean? You have to shell out that cash.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so.
You want the best of the best, you got to pay the money. If you get what you pay for, that saying is.
I'm not saying Nedry was the best.
By I'm just saying you pay for what you get.
That's right. That's right.
That is a true statement.
Favorite character? Favorite character?
Jeff Goldblum, Ian Malcolm.
He is a good
just
one.
How he talks and everything.
In the first one, or all of them.
Just how he is.
Yeah.
Just as a person. Like, okay, we talked about actors before, how they are and how they act.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum plays Jeff Goldblum, and he doesn't need to play anyone else.
Yeah. I did like Sam Neill's Alan Grant because I liked the passion. Even though it was terrifying, it was the passion of his character. Yes. So, with that note, Jurassic Park, an American classic, right?
American classic. Yeah. We can say that now.
We can say
over
that.
Over 20 years old.
Yeah, it's true. It just celebrated.
No, and it celebrated 25 years.
Buddy. I think it was 25, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Entertainment Banter. I'm Matt.
And I'm Joel. And done.